Well, this morning we're continuing our series of questions that are found in the Bible. And I've entitled this series, Life's Most Important Questions. And this question today comes from Genesis chapter 22. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 7 initially, and then later on I'm going to add verse 8. But let us now hear God's word. Now after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains on which I shall tell you. So Abraham arose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to the young men, Stay here with the donkeys. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire of the knife. And so they both went together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, Father. And he said, Here I am, my son. He said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb of the burnt offering? This last question that Isaac asked is the question before us today. And I have identified this as one of life's most important questions. Where is the lamb? Some of you are surprised. You've never asked that question, at least not in exactly those words. You're not a shepherd. You don't tend to livestock. You've never, ever uttered that word, where is the lamb? But let me assure you that you indeed have asked that question. It's the burning question in every human heart. You see, we all need a lamb. The context, of course, of this passage of Scripture is the story of Abraham offering a burnt offering sacrifice to God. Now, why were offerings, these burnt offerings, necessary in the Old Testament? Well, they're necessary as a sacrifice of sin. You see, sin carries with it a penalty. The penalty of death. And each and every one of us is a sinner. The Apostle Paul writes in the book of Romans, All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then he adds a few chapters later, And the wages of sin is death. You know, on the surface, this seems to be a story of glorious, absolutely glorious obedience. God's command and Abraham's obedience to sacrifice his son Isaac, it's legendary. It's a thing of stories. However, if you really take a closer look at this story, in the broader context of Abraham's life, you discover that, well, Abraham, despite this obviously great obedience here, he too was a sinner. He too, just like us, has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He and his son Isaac, just like you and I, need a sacrifice of substitution. You see, that's what a sacrifice is. It's a substitution. Theologians call this substitutionary atonement. On that day, Isaac asked a very important question. Where is the lamb? He had wood, they had wood, and they had fire. But they lacked a proper sacrifice. Everyone senses that something needs to be done because of sin. That sin has to be atoned for in some way. We've all sinned, and we have a sense of guilt. We see that very evident in the big news stories of our day. First of all, there's the pandemic caused by the COVID-19 virus. And many people through this terrible event have asked themselves, are we under God's judgment? I mean, stop and think about that. Why are so many people asking, are we under God's judgment? Because even if they deny God, even if they deny any sin of themselves, they claim to be sinless, deep down in their heart, they know that they're not right with God. And then look at all these riots, all these race riots that are going on, and the sense that we need to somehow make atonement. We need to set things right in regards to past generation sins. You see, we are not that different from Abraham and Isaac. Our modern society thinks we've grown past all these things, but we haven't. We too are asking in our hearts of hearts, where is the Lamb? Throughout history, people have tried to come up with some type of way to atone for their sin. There are many cultures across this world, and many of them have practiced animal sacrifices. I mean, some have even practiced human sacrifices to atone for their sins. They sacrifice their own children. But most commonly throughout human history, people have tried to offer to God as an atonement for their sins, a substitute for their sin, their good works. Now, earlier I said that Abraham's obedience in the story is legendary. But as I was saying earlier, when weighed in the balance, and just picture in your mind those scales of justice with Abraham's good deeds on one side and his bad deeds on the other. The bad deeds always, always outweigh the good in every single human being's life. The standard of righteousness here is God's holiness. If you would come to the service tomorrow that we're having here, a live service, we're going to open our worship together by singing that great hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy. Our God is holy. The standard of right and wrong, good or bad, is not other people. It's God, a holy God. And as Paul rightly said, all have sinned and they fall short of the glory of God. So if we can't provide the Lamb, who can? Well, the answer is that God must provide. See, this is the answer that Abraham gave his son. He says in Genesis chapter 22, verse 8, where I left off, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. God himself will provide the offering. You see, Abraham knew that these animals that he was sacrificing, their blood couldn't atone for his sin. Their blood, their death couldn't be a substitute for his sin. They couldn't pay the wages of sin. They were simply pointers. Pointers that helped the people of the old covenant look to a greater hope, to the greater sacrifice that God himself would provide. In the book of Isaiah, we see that Isaiah prophesied that there's a great hope coming. And we're going to look at that verse later, but I want to go back. I want to go back in history to the Garden of Eden. And I think this illustrates why animal sacrifices can't atone for our sins. Because in that story, in chapter 3, right after Adam and Eve sinned, the very first animal sacrifice happened. In chapter 3, we read that after they sinned, Adam and Eve became aware of their shame before God. They became aware that they were naked and they were filled with shame. God killed an animal to clothe them with its hides. That sacrifice that God made there covered their nakedness, but it didn't cover their guilt and their sin. It was the first sacrifice that pointed to a greater covering, a covering that we need, a covering that only God can provide. The saints of the Old Testament They looked to this sacrifice, this coming sacrifice. And it's proof that the animal sacrifices weren't covering their sin. They all died. And none of them that died went to heaven. None of them did. It says very clearly in the Old Testament, they did not go to heaven. They went to Sheol. They went to the underworld. They went to the abode of the dead, not the place, the dwelling, the paradise of God. Now, there's a hope throughout the pages of the Old Testament that there's going to come a time when God's people, the believers of the Old Covenant, would be released from Sheol when the Lamb that God provided came. But their deaths were proof that these animal sacrifices did not cover sin. The only way your sin and my sin can be atoned for is by the Lamb God provides. You see, this very issue is what really separates the saints from unbelievers. You know, many people claim to be believers. Oh, they claim to believe in God. If you ask them, why would you go to heaven? Why do you have a hope to go to heaven? They say, I believe in God and I do good things. But these people, even though they may live good and moral lives, what's sending them to hell is they still believe that they can provide the Lamb, the substitute for their sins. Throughout history, we see people relying upon all different things. I've mentioned some of these: human sacrifices, animal sacrifices, good works. But again, none of these things can atone for our sin. Perhaps you're one of those people. You know, this is an important message. This is an important question. Where is the Lamb? What are you hoping in to atone for your sin? What reason would you give that question? Why should you go to heaven? If you die today, why are you going to heaven? Your answer to that question puts your eternal fate in the balance. The way you answer that question will determine whether you will end up in hell or in heaven. You see, our only hope can be in what God has provided. In the Gospel of John, we read these good words. John had been with Jesus, and one day he saw Jesus afar, and he said to his disciples this: Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And this brings us to the final point of this message. You need to behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. From the time of John the Baptist, rather from the time of Abraham to the time of John the Baptist, the people of God of the Old Testament had a hope of a coming Lamb that God would provide. You know, it's a great story of faith, and it finds its pinnacle, I think, in the book of Isaiah. And I've already mentioned that verse, Isaiah 53. And I would like to read a portion of that chapter, beginning at verse 1, where Isaiah the prophet writes this: Who has believed what he has heard from us? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. As one from whom men must hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, and upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah is talking about the Lamb that God provides. And can you imagine being one of John's disciples that day when he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." All those Old Testament prophecies, such as the one we find here in Isaiah 53 that I just read, they came flooding into their minds. And what joy must have filled their hearts as he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." But I wonder if all John's disciples really saw Jesus as the Lamb of God. I mean, we know that many of them believed, but did all of them? Could some of them have just seen Jesus as a man? We know that's the way many people see Jesus today. Maybe it's you. Oh, who is Jesus? Well, Jesus was a historical figure. He's someone who lived back in the day. He was a human just like the rest of us. He lived and died, and that was it. I mean, some dare say, probably a little, pretty, maybe more even, "Oh, he was a good teacher. I like the teachings of Jesus, and I follow his moral teachings." But how many behold Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world? You know, I can remember as a boy, my parents took me to church every week. I remember sitting in the sanctuary, and it was one of those big, beautiful churches with a high vaulted ceiling, and you really had such a sense of God's majesty in that place as the people worshiped. I remember being taught about Jesus, both in Sunday school and at home. But it seems like for the first 12 years of my life, I saw Jesus, I heard about Jesus, but I didn't behold him as a Lamb of God. And then at age 12, by God's grace, something happened in my life. I started realizing how serious my sin was. I started realizing the things I had done to other people, some of my fellow classmates, people I knew, even the way I treated my parents at times. It stained me with sin, and no soap and water, nothing I could do could wash away that sin. And I had this tremendous sense of shame and guilt, and I knew I needed a lamb. I needed a substitute. I mean, I wasn't using those words at that time, but in the context of this passage, I knew I needed something. And by God's grace, that summer, in Vacation Bible School, God opened my eyes, and suddenly I saw Jesus in a way that I never saw him before. I saw him as the Lamb that God provided. That Lamb that Abraham was talking about so many years ago. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I tell you my story because I wonder, what about your story? Do you see Jesus as a Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world? I mean, I hope I've shown you today through this passage of Scripture that we all have a sin problem. Abraham, despite his great obedience, had a sin problem. Isaac had a sin problem. I have a sin problem. You have a sin problem. And the question that Isaac asked is just as pertinent today as the day he asked it. Where is the Lamb? I mean, what are you counting on to atone for your sin? If it's not the Lamb that God has provided, what is it? Is it your good works? Is it your church attendance? Is it your affirmation to certain doctrinal beliefs and you can check off the list? Or is it true faith in the Lamb of God? Seeing him as the one who takes away the sins of the world. I want to close this message by urging each and every one of you, take a look at Jesus again. Behold him. Behold him. See him for who he truly is. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Believe in him. Trust in him alone. And if you do, you can have the assurance of eternal life. Because that Lamb is the sacrifice that God has provided. Let us pray. Oh, Lord God, I again pray your blessing upon the message that I've just preached, that you will use it to create faith in the hearts of everyone who has heard today. Hearts that believe the good news that Jesus is the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. That their eyes can be opened to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, to see who he truly is. Father God, I pray for this lost world, our lost society, which is running to and fro, trying to somehow soothe their sense of guilt and failing utterly, just as every generation before has failed. For the only way to have our sins atoned for is by faith in Jesus Christ. And so, Father, I pray that this message will be blessed by you to create faith in many, many hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.